This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So today I want to address a incorrect approach that many people today have towards fiqh, towards Islamic law or interpreted Islamic law. And this is actually very common that I find people are very strict about issues where there are clear differences of opinion. And they tend to take it very personally if you follow a different opinion from them on these issues. And I want to go a bit into the mindset behind this. Like, why do people think like this, and how are we supposed to think as Muslims? So let's start with a simple example. Very often when I'm teaching fiqh to young people and it's their first time studying the field of fiqh, they will come up with questions like, what is the correct opinion on wearing your pants below your ankles? Or what is the right opinion on the length of the beard? And I usually respond with a response that makes them quite irritated. And my response is, if we knew what the correct opinion was, there wouldn't be a difference of opinion. And this leaves them confused because people assume that there has to be a right opinion. And people are not comfortable with the idea that there are many things in life that we do not know the right opinion about. And we just have to make peace with the fact that we're following an opinion with the possibility that it could be wrong. Now, today I want to discuss why it is wrong to approach fiqh in this manner of there has to be a right opinion. Number two, I wanted to go a bit into why we have this mindset today, and it might be something you never even thought about, what I'm going to mention here. In fact, you might think it's completely irrelevant, but I believe it's very relevant. Number three, I want us to discuss what is the correct approach to fiqh, and finally, why all of this is actually important, and what would be the benefits of changing our approach to fiqh. So let's start with why. Why do people assume there has to be a right answer to every topic? It's not what you think, right? I believe that the reason for this is the modern education system. Now you may be wondering, what's the modern education system have to do with fiqh? The modern education system, basically it trains the way our minds work. Many of us, the way our brains work, our worldview is shaped entirely by the school system. We are put in school at a very young age, at the age of 5. We spend our entire childhood and young adulthood in the school system. We come out thinking in a very specific way. Now, those of y'all who know me and you read my works and you watch my videos, you know that I am a critic of modern education. And I believe that the system is very problematic in a number of ways, and that we need a whole new system for the new era, right? But to me, one of the biggest flaws of the education system we currently have is that it trains people to think that there's always a right answer and a wrong answer. That everything's binary, everything has a right answer and a wrong answer. Because for 13 years you are in school, and for every topic, you have to know the right answer, right? Any other answer is wrong. There's no scope for differences of opinion. There's no room for differences of opinion. There's no room for creative thinking. Sometimes you may try a new approach to a topic and arrive at the same conclusion as the teacher, but because your approach is wrong, they still mark it wrong because it has to be exactly what the teacher says. Now, what this does is it trains our minds to think that on every issue, there has to be a right answer and a wrong answer, especially when it comes to matters of law, right? When it comes to law, there's just legal and illegal. But this has never been the Islamic approach to knowledge. This has never been the Islamic approach to topics of fiqh, of interpretive Islamic law. And many people find it hard to make this mindset shift, to make the mindset shift of there's always a right answer to I could be wrong. So to understand this, let us separate knowledge in Islam into two separate areas. We have what is ma'loom min ad-deen bid-durura, what is known of this religion by necessity. These are issues where there's no difference of opinion. These are issues that are set in stone. These are issues where there's a right answer and a wrong answer. But these are actually very few things, right? The six pillars of faith, believe in one God, his messengers, the angels, his books, the afterlife and destiny. This is clear, right? Then we have the five pillars of Islam. You need to believe in the Shahada, pray five times a day, fast the month of Ramadan, discharge your zakah, go for Hajj. That's clear. We have the major sins. Don't steal, don't commit zina, don't get involved in other types of sexual deviancy, don't gamble, don't drink alcohol. This is clear. But what many people don't realize is that this makes up a very small part of our religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made clear to us only that which is crucial and important for us to do well in life and to be saved on the Day of Judgment. And for many other issues, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left it open to interpretation as a mercy to us. This is Allah's mercy to us. This is part of Allah's gift and blessings upon this ummah, that he has made fiqh such that there is room for differences of opinion. So the religion is not too strict, it's not too burdensome, it's not something that people find difficult to follow. The very existence of differences of opinion is supposed to make Islam something that's easy for people to follow. Because if you find a certain opinion to be like not convincing, or you do not see how it makes sense, and you find a different opinion from a legitimate scholar with his own evidences that's very clearly within the framework of what's acceptable, you can follow a different opinion. You don't have to follow a specific set of opinions to get into Jannah. So what many of us have to get used to is the idea that when it comes to Islamic law, when it comes to fiqh, there is a spectrum of possible answers. There's a spectrum of possible answers. And whichever answer you end up following based on your research, based on whichever scholars you follow, you have to follow it with the understanding that it could be wrong. And you have to just make peace with that, that the opinion I'm following could be wrong. And that's on all issues of fiqh, right? When you read the works of the early scholars, almost every book of fiqh you read, it begins with a statement that these are our opinions and they could be wrong and Allah knows best. That the scholars of fiqh, they approach fiqh from the possibility, from the perspective that I could possibly be wrong. This is a matter of ijtihad. This is a matter of doing one's research, trying one's best to find the correct opinion, but knowing that as humans, we can't always know everything. We can't always be right. So there's a strong possibility that I am wrong. And when you do this, your approach towards other Muslims, it changes. You stop treating fiqh the same way you would treat Sharia or Aqidah. And this is again the big problem in our times, right? I see this especially in my community. People treat secondary issues of fiqh, where there's a clear difference of opinion, they treat it as if it's a matter of kufr and iman, right? That they will literally judge your faith on matters, secondary matters of fiqh. I'll give you a story about this. Many years ago, over a decade ago, I was in India delivering a public lecture, and a group of young men came in, and they weren't looking at my face, they were looking at my feet. I couldn't understand why. And after a while, they walked out. So after the lecture, one of my friends, a scholar who was based in India at the time, he came up to me and he said, "Those young men, we're looking at the length of your thobe, of your kurta. And when they saw it was touching your ankles, they walked out. Because in their view, it is haram for a scholar's pants to be touching his ankles." Now, I know this opinion exists in fiqh, and I know it has the possibility of being right, but you have to be fair and accept that there are many different opinions on this issue. There are many different opinions on this issue. Going all the way back, Imam Ash-Shafi did not view this as sinful. The great Sahabi, the greatest of the Sahaba, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his pants would be below his ankles, right? They were differences of opinion all the way back to the first generation on this. Number one, historically, the issue of pants being below the ankles was never a big deal. It was never a big deal until about 50 or 100 years ago. It's a product of modernity that Muslims treat this like an issue of iman and kufr. Really, go back and study history. Go back and study books of fiqh from 500 to 1,000 years ago, you will never see this listed as a major issue. People just viewed it as a very secondary issue of fiqh, where there's a difference of opinion. Some scholars see it as a minor sin, some see it as makruh, some see it as halal. You don't force your opinion on others on issues like that. But in modernity, we become so trained to look at all issues as the same. So we can't distinguish between a major sin and a minor sin. And we can't distinguish between matters of difference of opinion and matters that are agreed upon. And we treat everything as if it's kufr. And we treat everything as if it's something to disunite with people over. And this is a ridiculous approach to fiqh. This is a modern approach to fiqh. This is a modern approach to fiqh. Because historically, Muslims did not treat fiqh like this. Historically, Muslims treated fiqh as a matter of probability. They treated it as, in Arabic, we call it a dhanni science, a speculative science, a science in which you train, you learn a methodology, you apply the methodology, you study the evidences, but whatever conclusion you come to, you accept, I could be wrong. And you have to live with that, and you have to accept that, and it's not that big a deal. We have to stop treating differences in fiqh like such a big deal. This is one of the biggest problems I have in trying to talk to some people, that they treat every issue of fiqh as if it's a matter of kufr. And then you can't have a conversation, you can't get along with people who follow different fiqh opinions from you, you can't even accept the idea that a different opinion exists. You know, I've had this conversation with people where I'll be explaining to them a different opinion on a topic from Imam Al-Ghazali or Ibn Hazm or one of the great scholars of the past, and they will look at me all confused and say, in my opinion, there is no difference of opinion. What? Literally quoting you scholars that said the opposite of what you're saying, and you're saying in your opinion, there's no difference of opinion. This doesn't make sense. Are you going to deny history? Are you going to deny the scholars exist? Are you going to deny that these scholars have a different view from you? How do you come to this conclusion that you as a layman can say there's no difference of opinion on a matter where very clearly Imam Ghazali had a different opinion, Ibn Hazm had a different opinion, Ibn Taymiyyah had a different opinion? Are you just going to write them off because your brain can't accept the idea that this is a speculative science and you could be wrong? We really need to change our mindset towards fiqh. What would be the benefit of changing our mindset towards fiqh? The main benefit is we become more tolerant of each other. We become more accepting of the fact that this is a speculative science, and my opinion is not the absolute truth, and somebody else could be right, and I could be wrong. And because of this, we can actually live in peace with each other. I see people disuniting over the smallest issues of fiqh, where someone has a difference of opinion with them on a slightest issue of fiqh, and they want to cut that person off completely, treating them like a kafir. Relax, it's not kufr to have a difference of opinion in fiqh. It's always been there from the time of the Sahaba. Abu Bakr and Umar had differences of opinion with each other in fiqh. Why are we making it such a big deal in the 21st century? We have become the biggest obstacle to the unity of the Ummah when we take these secondary issues of fiqh and we treat them as if they are matters of iman and kufr. So let's end with a practical example, right? How do we deal with differences of opinion in fiqh? I'll give you a practical example. The issue of smoking cigarettes. This is a contemporary issue. So whatever opinion you follow, it's a result of ijtihad. It's a probability and you could be wrong. Now, I am of the opinion that when it comes to smoking, it is haram. I am of the opinion that smoking cigarettes and other tobacco-based products are haram. These things can kill you. They cause the deaths of millions of people. The harms outweigh the benefits. It's not Islamic to purposely destroy your bodies in this way. Therefore, my opinion is that it's haram. But I know that there's differences of opinion. I know that this is a matter of ijtihad. I know some scholars think it is makruh. Some think it's makruh tahrimi. There are different opinions. So what do you do with this? What do you do with the fact that there's a difference of opinion? Very simple. When I'm teaching a class, I will teach my opinion. When I'm advising someone, I will advise them based on my opinion. But when I'm dealing with average Muslims on the street, when I'm dealing with other people, I will not make it a big deal. Because they have the right to follow a different opinion. If I taught my opinion that it's haram, and another scholar taught his opinion that it's makruh, and they found that other scholars' opinion to be more convincing, they have the right to follow that opinion. Without being judged, without being shamed, without you making takfir of them, we're just accepting the fact that this is a matter of ijtihad. It is probable that I am right, it is probable that I am wrong, and they have the right to follow a difference of opinion in such issues. A lot of us find it hard to do this, right? Because again, I think it comes down to the word haram. When I say my opinion is that it's haram, many of us, our mind jumps to that this is equal to zina or it's equal to stealing. No. There are levels of haram. There are levels of haram. Smoking cigarettes is not on the same level as stealing or committing zina. No, not at all. When I say it's haram, it's not clear in the Quran and Sunnah. It's a result of ijtihad. Therefore, at most, it's a minor sin. A minor sin. It cannot be put in the same category as something that is clear and agreed upon and where there's a hard punishment for. You cannot put them in the same category. Again, this is a separate video I'm going to make. We have to distinguish between the levels of haram. Because Muslims in modernity do not distinguish between the levels of haram, we end up treating all of it as equal. And this is very problematic because then we make the religion unnecessarily difficult. We treat minor sins like major sins, or even worse, we treat minor sins like kufr, and that has never been the approach historically. So what is the benefit of changing our approach towards fiqh? Instead of looking at it from a binary perspective of right answers and wrong answers, and looking at it from the actual Islamic perspective of there being a spectrum of possible opinions, all of which have the possibility of being right and wrong. You follow the opinion of your local scholars, or if you are a scholar, you follow whatever you believe is the strongest opinion, but you accept the possibility that you could be wrong. What do you do? What is the benefit of this approach? The benefit of this approach is that you become automatically more tolerant towards other Muslims. You stop making it a big deal that his hands are here in Salah and your hands are down in Salah. It's not a big deal. Either way, Allah is going to accept your Salah. You stop making it a big deal that one person makes dua after Salah and the other person doesn't. It's not a big deal. Either way, the ibadah is going to be accepted. You stop making it a big deal that some people wear kurta and topi, other people wear shirt and pants. It's not a big deal. Both ways, the ibadah will be accepted. You stop making these secondary issues a big deal because you understand there is a spectrum of differences of opinion and you cannot force your opinions on others. So you automatically become more tolerant of these differences of opinion. You do not force your opinions on others. You stop making these issues big deals and you stop breaking ties with people over these issues. Perhaps over time, as you study this deeper, as you learn to accept this more, you learn to appreciate other opinions. You learn to enjoy the fact that there's diversity in the ummah. And you begin to really appreciate all the different madhabs and approaches to fiqh. So to conclude, fiqh is a science of probability. It is a dhanni science. It is a science in which whatever conclusion you arrive at, there is a possibility that you are wrong. So it's not a science in which there are right answers and wrong answers. Just answers that are closer to being correct than others. At the end of the day, when it comes to fiqh, Allah is merciful. And He will accept from you whichever opinion you are following, as long as you genuinely believe that this may be the strongest opinion. Which means somebody could spend their whole life believing that something is haram, based on ijtihad. And someone else could spend their whole life believing that that thing is halal, based on ijtihad. And as long as it falls within this acceptable spectrum of fiqh, they both go to Jannah. And it's not a bigger deal as many of us make it out to be. And I will end with a beautiful quotation from the great Khalif Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, who was from the Tabi'een, from the second generation of Islam. He was the Khalifa from 99 to 101 AH. And he was asked, like, what do you make about the fact that the Sahaba had differences of opinion? Shouldn't everything just be clear? Shouldn't they all just be following the same thing? And he said something very profound. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz said, I am happy that the Sahaba had differences of opinion. I am happy that the Sahaba disagreed on many matters. Why? He said, because if they did not disagree, if they just had the same opinion on every issue of fiqh, this religion would have been too difficult for most people to practice. The wisdom of the great Khalifa Umar bin Abdul Aziz. Don't just tolerate or accept the fact that fiqh is a science in which there are many differences of opinion, but appreciate it. Because this is Allah's mercy to us. This is Allah's way of making the religion easy upon us. This is Allah's way of accommodating the fact that people think differently, people act differently, people have different approaches, people perceive things differently. This is Allah's way of accommodating the diversity of the ummah within the laws of Islam and building a flexibility within the law itself. If we learn to accept this and to live in this way and to deal with each other in this way, then we can really have more hope of uniting, and we'll actually start to approach the science in the way the people of the past approached it and give it what it deserves. So that's all I have to say for today. I really hope you take time to think about this, and that we take time to adjust the way we approach fiqh issues. Stop making the secondary issues matters that we disunite over. When it's something that's known of our religion by necessity, yes, we draw a red line there. But when it's something where there's always been differences of opinion, whatever fits within that spectrum of differences of opinion, learn to love and let love. It's not that big a deal. And Allah knows best. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ